We set aside this day, this feast of the Holy Cross, once a year. Think about the cross and its significance, apart from our observance, of course, on Good Friday. And it's very difficult not to forget the cross. At our baptism, we were signed with a cross and marked as Christ's own forever. And on our deathbed, when we receive last rites, a priest will dip his thumb in oil and again mark us with the sign of the cross. And all through our life, the cross follows us. We pray with the sign of the cross. At a wedding, the nuptial blessing is given to the bride and the groom with the sign of a cross. Crosses adorn our altar books, prayer books, Bibles, necklaces, keychains, and a thousand other things. We are so used to seeing the cross that we're no longer shocked by it. Can you imagine looking at your bulletin today, walking in, and if I put a gallows or an electric chair on the front of the bulletin, that might shock us. But the cross was just as much a form of execution. And in fact, in 315, the Romans abolished crucifixion because it was too inhumane. And for Romans, that was saying something. But the question is, why is the cross the central Christian symbol? Well, first of all, the cross is a symbol of judgment. Whenever a tragedy occurs, there's also always a sort of post-mortem evaluation on it. We've been commemorating the 9th anniversary of 9/11 yesterday, and I was in New Jersey when that happened. But consider the reflection on it. Could it have been avoided? It wouldn't have happened, certainly, if X and Y and Z had taken place. Now, that kind of reflection is only human nature. And the tragedy of the death of Jesus upon the cross resulted in the same sort of searching reflection on the part of those who loved him. Now, certain people were obviously to blame. The priests who plotted his downfall, Judas who betrayed him, Pilate who gave in to the crowd, and so on. But very early on, the church came to the realization that it was all of humanity that crucified Jesus. We were all guilty, and God's judgment is upon all of us. On Good Friday, we sing the hymn that puts it this way: who was the guilty? Who brought this upon thee? Alas, my treason, Jesus hath undone thee. 'Twas I, Lord Jesus, I it was denied thee, I crucified thee. Now, Jesus is God, and his death is a symbol of the clash between, on one hand, the perfect love of God and the sinfulness of the human race. Paul and Peter and Caiaphas the high priest and Judas and Pilate and you and me. And in their reflection on the death of Jesus, those who knew and loved Jesus discovered the truth, and it is true, that you might not have sinned much in your life, but you're still a sinner. And Christians see the important truth that the cross is like a mirror of how prideful humanity wounds the love of God, and in that mirror, we see ourselves. I mean, just think of the characters in the story of the death of Jesus. The Pharisees with their religious smugness. Pilate, who wanted to do the right thing but was afraid of losing his popularity. Or Judas, who chose his bank account over his Lord. Or the executioners that callously treated a human being as if he were an object. Those kind of attitudes, those kind of activities drove nails into the love of God 2,000 years ago, and those attitudes, those activities drive nails into the love of God here and now. We have the crowd clamoring to have Barabbas given to them and for Jesus to be put away, choosing the worthless over perfection. Away with him, away with him. Crucify him, they cried. And haven't I said the same thing 1,000 times? Choosing the worthless over perfection. Secondly, the cross is not only a means of judgment, the cross is the means whereby God forgives us. Now, true forgiveness, as opposed to the shallow and cheap counterfeit that the world so often holds out to us, is not cheap. If you owe me $1,000 and I forgive your debt to me, my forgiveness has just cost me $1,000. Because you and I and all of humanity have been judged guilty before God, we are in need of forgiveness. That is why we pray, forgive us our trespasses. Now, of course, God is loving, but God is always righteous and holy. He's not a senile grandfather, but rather a father who is easily pleased and yet infinitely demanding. And so God cannot gloss over our debt and say, it doesn't matter, let's pretend you don't owe me anything. I mean, you and I would not accept that kind of procedure, and neither will God. Justice must be satisfied. And true forgiveness is not cheap and off the cuff, but costly. How expensive? How expensive is it? Well, it costs God the life of his only begotten. And when we see the cross, we see the condemnation of ourselves. I don't know if you were ever told the lie, I was, when I was a child, that we like bear crosses because we like bear crosses. Well, that's absolutely not what the early church saw. The early church, the earliest form of the crucifix we have is the Christus Rex, Christ the King, as we have over our altar. Christ reigning from the tree in Eucharistic vestments. And we must always remember, never forget, that Christ was not a layman, he was a priest, the great high priest. And it's not a bare cross, but the cross with Jesus hanging on it in limitless love. When he went to the cross, our names were written on his heart. Jesus died for us. Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son at the end that all believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The cross brings forgiveness, condemnation, forgiveness. All well and good, Father, you say, a nice lesson in historical theology, but how does the cross have an impact on my life here and now? Well, on the cross we see Jesus emptying himself in self-giving love. He pours out his life. And the only thing that can defeat the glory of pride and self-centeredness is the glory of self-emptying love. By virtue of our baptism, we have been baptized into Christ's death. Christ's death is in us. But his glory is also in us. If we die with him, we shall be raised with him, says St. Paul. To be a Christian, to be a Christ follower, is to be in relationship with Jesus as a living, breathing, concrete, flesh and blood reality, but also in relationship with everyone else whom Jesus loves and who love Jesus. That's the church. And it's this relationship with Christ through his body that means my self-centeredness is constantly being challenged and defeated. I think I've told this story in a class on Sunday morning, but when I went to my parish in New Jersey, there was waiting for me on my desk a request for a transfer of a member of the congregation to another Episcopal church about 5 miles away. And so I just signed it, and off it went, and her membership went to that church. Well, about a year later, her membership letter came back from that church. And I said, I want to meet this person. I have no idea who she was. So I called her in, and I said, who are you? And we talked, and I said, I need you to understand that there's certain demands on you as being a member of the body in this place. Absolutely, she said, and so on. A year later, she wanted to be transferred out to another church. And I said to her, Eleanor, her name was Eleanor, that's why I said Eleanor. I said, Eleanor, I said, I need you to know that if I transfer you out of this parish, I'm not bringing you back in. Why, she said. Because you need to learn to live with other Christians. Your self-centeredness, your consumer mentality has to be shaped, challenged, and defeated. And there's nothing like living with other Christians to be a challenge, is there? The more Christ becomes the center and the less I am the center, the more I am drawn into fellowship with those who belong to Christ, and it is less easy for me to be entangled in my own self-pride. That is why the Christian life has been called a death unto self. We use the word mortification. And through the cross, Jesus' own self-giving love lives in us. And it's the kind of love, just to use one example that we're all familiar with, Mother Teresa. Here is a woman who did not only helpful or nice things. I mean, any celebrity or social worker could do nice things. But here's a woman who embraced the cross and died to self. And as she died to self, we saw more of Jesus' self-giving love in her. And if you embrace your cross, whatever it is in your life, in your circumstances, Christ's self-giving love will live in you too. By the cross, we are judged. By the cross, we are forgiven. And by the cross, we share in Jesus' victory over Satan, sin, death, and self. That is why we keep this feast of the Holy Cross. Let us stand in the words of the Nicene Creed, affirm the faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth,
of all that is seen
and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God.